God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Welcome to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. This is Pastor Larry. Robert Jeffress, the pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas, told the Todd Starn Show that the government's overreach during the coronavirus pandemic and its targeting of churches have been nothing short of an abomination. Jeffress pointed to California in particular and its threats directed at Grace Community Church and its pastor, John MacArthur. There is no constitutional right to allow a person to go to a movie, a mall, a restaurant, or to a casino in Reno, Nevada. There's no constitutional guarantee to that, but there is a constitutional guarantee for the ability to go to church. It is called the First Amendment, Jeffress said. Churches and state governments have been clashing since the start of the pandemic and the subsequent swift actions taken by elected officials. Many churches complied, at times begrudgingly, but now have voiced full-throated objections. These faith leaders point to what they see as hypocrisy when Democrats cheer on anti-police protesters while putting guidelines in place that hurt church services. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom has also put limits on home Bible studies. Never forget, friends, that freedom is always in peril. When a mayor or governor says church is not essential, we have a problem. There are fanatics and dreamers in our world. These are people who have grandiose plans for the betterment of society. They believe that the greatest good is for man to build a utopian kingdom of goodness, human goodness. Well, friends, that's not God's plan. He is building a kingdom like no other. Unfortunately, there are evangelicals who have redesigned the kingdom of God so that it no longer resembles the kingdom of God that the Holy Bible speaks about. Who are these utopian dreamers? What are the implications of their theories and ideas? We're going to continue visiting with Mac Dominic and learn something about the strange appeal these man-centered ideas have on many, many evangelicals. It is a very, very sad picture, I assure you. Our guest once again is Mac Dominic. Mac, thank you so much for being on the second show.
Always a pleasure, Larry.
Well, I think there's something really big coming up in our program. What does history teach us about globalism?
Well, you know, we were talking last time about Cecil Rhodes, Lord Milner, and those men during that time that wanted to build the kingdom of God on earth. And it came even into the 1960s. I've got a quote here by a gentleman by the name of Barry Goldwater. I was actually at Barry Goldwater's rally on Halloween night in 1964, wow, just before he lost in the landslide election to LBJ. But Barry Goldwater, in his book With No Apologies, said this: "We should be aware that the most noble motives can destroy freedom. Perhaps the most dangerous notion of all is the belief that given the proper amount of power and ability to manipulate and manage, well-intentioned men can create heaven on earth." And so it went from the 19th century to building the kingdom of God on earth. And of course, we know that there was, I can't remember who said this, but there was one gentleman that said back around after World War I, when they formed the League of Nations, that was the opportunity to build the kingdom of God on earth. But now we come into the 1960s, and Barry Goldwater starts talking about these people who want to build heaven on earth. And unfortunately, the church seemed to fall for it hook, line, and sinker, because the theology, the predominant theology of the time, was covenant theology. And if you are a covenant theologian and you do not believe in a literal millennial reign of Christ, if you do not believe there's going to be a rapture of the church, but rather that when the world gets good enough, then Jesus will come and rule over you, or either Jesus will allow you to rule over the world, whatever the case may be. If your theology is a Calvinistic covenant theology, then I can understand how this would happen. But that's exactly what did happen, you know, in the 1940s with the National Association of Evangelicals. Then we had the ecumenical movement headed up by the Vatican II movement with Pope John the 23rd, and so forth and so on. And it came right into our modern age when evangelicals embraced the philosophies of Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker basically perceived of a new society struggling to emerge, and he saw his three-legged stool model to form community in the entire world, one leg of which was the nonprofit headed by the megachurches. So we see all of this that has just come to pass right under our nose. And then we talked in our last DVD about the movement for the new apostles and prophets that's come along with people like Rick Joyner. And Rick Joyner actually believed he was one of the prophets tasked with equipping a new breed, a new race within a race, to prepare the church to accept the false Christ and usher in a new theocratic world government and a one world church. I mean, we had all of this come to pass within that new apostolic reformation. We see it in the megachurch movement. We see it all coming around or falling around us. And we also see the endorsement of the United Nations and all of these things going on. And so poor theology. And that's why we spent time in one of the earlier DVDs to talk about covenant theology, the doctrine of election, and all of those things that go along with it. This theology sets up evangelicals to accept a world government that is outside of the kingdom of God, which is ruled by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, as I look at some of this stuff, I think they really have an inflated view of man. The Bible does teach that we're fallen, and to think that people are going to create an ideal situation on earth or wherever, that's just so unbiblical in itself.
That's right. And we see it even today. You look at the response to the COVID-19 issues. Everywhere you turn, the response is, oh, well, the United States can't handle this. Trump can't handle this. We need a world authority. We need a world government. Bill Gates is pushing not only for a world government, but a vaccine that has an ID chip in it. It's like every crisis, if it's not a managed crisis, it's a crisis that sure appears to be a managed crisis, because these globalists take advantage of every world disaster, every world crisis, to promote globalism, a one world government, and a new world order. And nationalism, if you're a nationalist now, that is an ugly word. You are the scum of the earth if you're a nationalist. And nationalism is touted now as the biggest sin that is tarnishing all of mankind, because we all need to work together, hold hands all around the globe, sing "We are the world, we are the children," all get along, form a world government, elect a one world ruler, and have the one world government finally come to pass. And that's really where all this seems to be headed. If nothing else, it is a precursor of the kingdom of Antichrist.
I really believe you're right on target there, because I see in so many of the states and in the cities and municipalities that there is government overreach. We're going to close the church. You know, I'm thinking of this Calvary Chapel. I think it's Dayton Valley in Nevada. Caesar's Palace, the casino, and all the other things that go on there can stay open, but the church has to close or only can have a limited number of people. I mean, so much of what is being done is anti-God.
Well, that's right. You know, they started not only burning flags in Portland last week, but they started burning Bibles.
Yes.
What does that tell you? I mean, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I would hate to be in the shoes of those people when they stand before God, because that is a blatant attack not only on Christianity, but on Judaism. It's an attack on God Almighty. And when you start seeing things like that, I can't understand while we don't have a major outcry from the citizenry of the United States saying, well, wait a minute, why are you burning Bibles? What is your end game here? Well, the end game is a world government that has no part of God involved with it. It's anti-God.
I think all the opposition against Donald Trump is, number one, because he is not a globalist. Number two, he's pushing Christianity. He's identified with Christianity. He's pro-life. Carries around a Bible sometimes. He holds a Bible. He's doing, in the sight of the world, everything that's wrong. But in my sight, he's doing everything that's right. Now, of course, he's not perfect. But I love the major issues that he identifies with. They're core values that I think every Christian holds on to. So what the Democratic Party has to do is to say, well, he's got a bad character, he's got a bad temper, he's this, he's that, and everything else. And like I say, he's not perfect, but the core values just irk the globalists. They can't stand him at all.
That's right. And that's really what all of this war that we're in is all about, is globalism versus nationalism. That's what we see from a political side of it, but from a spiritual side, we're in a true battle of good versus evil. And I think more so than any time since World War II, World War II was also a battle of good versus evil. But this is even more than that, because we have the forces of darkness versus anything that represents Christian values or the teachings of Scripture.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that makes America in a much more precarious position today than World War II is that, number one, the family is just all messed up. Number two, the kids are all messed up because they're going to, government schools. It's really a government school because it's the government, the wicked government, that determines history. History is being rewritten. So, you know, a lot of people look at America as just a terrible nation kind of thing. So I think our condition right now is much more dangerous when we had Nazi Germany on one side and Imperial Japan on the other side. At least back then, we all had certain core values. Now the country is split right down the middle.
Exactly. And, you know, back then you could speak out against the enemy. You can't speak out against the enemy now without losing your business, your livelihood, whatever. You know, it's an attack on anyone that speaks out against these radical movements.
Right. I'm thinking of that black Christian man in, I believe it was in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
Yeah,
yes.
They killed him. They murdered him.
They killed him, yeah.
So
his black life didn't matter too much, did it?
Right. Only certain black lives matter. Not every black life matters. And certainly if black lives really mattered, they would picket Planned Parenthood because they have a lot of their abortion mills in the poor black areas, and I think it's black genocide what they do with little black babies. It's shocking.
It is. And, you know, all they have to do is go back and look at what Margaret Sanger actually stood for. And if they would do that, but you can't do that because that's true history.
Right. Well, I think one of the great proofs, as far as I'm concerned, that Christianity is true, just look at America after we've been throwing Christianity out. What do we have? Broken homes, you know, all kinds of perversion going on, riots in the street, burning. I mean, I'm thinking of people who have started businesses in Milwaukee and maybe Seattle, and they've spent 30 or 40 years. You have your own business. It's 24/7. You don't punch out at 5 o'clock. You're working there all the time, and yet these ruffians come along and burn the place down. And if you try to stop it, you're a criminal. So, you know, we certainly need to think about God's kingdom. How does the thoughts of God's kingdom encourage the heart?
Yeah, well, it's the end game. It's what we're all looking for. You know, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right. He's the answer.
And that's really what this is all about.
The more we try to fix the situation, the worse it gets. But we know that God is the final fixer-upper, and he does a great job, and one day he will. Well, Mac, this is a big topic. We're going to need you to come back for another show. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me.
All right. Well, Matthew, please come to the mic. I know we have something special for our listeners.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new DVD titled, Are We Building the Kingdom of God? Or A One World Religion Under a New World Order. You can have a copy of this must-have DVD for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $35 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. That is very quick and easy. You can also place your order by writing to us. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. Don't forget to put your prayer request or Bible question or comment in with your order. And you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. While you're online, please visit our Facebook page. And if you like it, you know what to do. Here again is Pastor Larry.
The world's globalist elite are a brood of vipers, and not just because they embrace the progressive ideologies of Darwin, Hegel, and Blavatsky. New York Times columnist Ross Douthat says that they are, quote, eager to assimilate the fun-seeing bits of foreign cultures, food, a touch of exotic spirituality. They have a distinctive worldview, but their preferred label is WEIRD. What does that stand for? Western, educated, industrialized, rich, and democratic. Close quotes.
In his book, The Deeper State, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis writes, quote, Hillary Clinton's life illustrates the potential adverse consequences of becoming an elite globalist. It didn't have to end up this way, but the Clinton family enriched themselves while advancing the globalist agenda at our expense, close quotes. Mrs. Clinton was a passionate progressive globalist by the time she started running for the White House in 2008. She came to favor a future world system ruled by international norms and an all-powerful one-world government. She has no room in her thinking for a sovereign, anti-socialist United States of America.
The Clintons used three platforms to fuel their internationalist aspirations. Their political roles provided them significant leverage and notoriety, which generated a huge income from speeches. The British magazine The Economist estimates that the couple gave 728 speeches since the former president left office, making $154 million in fees. And $49 million of that was made while Mrs. Clinton served as the Secretary of State, and much of that money came from abroad.
McGinnis writes, quote, The Clintons illustrate better than any other American political couple how to milk their elitist status. They served in the White House, State Department, and U.S. Senate, and then milked many domestic and international elites seeking special access and influence into the United States, close quotes.
What kind of compatriots does Hillary Clinton have? All we have to do is to name one, George Soros. That says a lot about the crowd Mrs. Clinton runs with. Soros' success in making money, albeit in some cases under suspicious circumstances, is matched in enthusiasm by his use of that money to promote his progressive globalist views. He successfully leverages politicians, non-governmental organizations, and the media to manipulate entire countries and arguably much of the world in order to advance his radical globalist interest.
Soros is considered one of the deep pockets behind efforts to undermine President Trump. In fact, it appears that Soros launched a new, quote, color revolution, close quotes, here in America to defeat President Trump. Soros is behind virtually every left-wing issue, drug legalization, abortion on demand, normalizing homosexuality, climate change, wiping out national borders for unfettered migration, one-world government, and much more. He doesn't hesitate to throw millions of his own dollars at these issues.
Why do we report so much on COVID-19? simply stated, it is not primarily a medical problem as much as a political ploy. It is a convenient excuse to push a political agenda designed to bring America into the fold of the socialist one-world order. If you doubt that premise, keep listening. On August 4th, 2020, the website onepoliticalplaza.com carried this report that includes key findings through the 12th of July. According to the CDC, 101 children age 0 to 14 have died from influenza, while 31 children have died from COVID-19. No evidence exists to support the theory that children pose a threat to educational professionals in a school or classroom setting. But there's a great deal of evidence to support the safety of in-person education. According to the CDC, 131,332 Americans have died from pneumonia, 121,324 from COVID-19 as of July 11th. Had the CDC used its industry standard Medical Examiner's and Coroner's Handbook on Death Registration and Fetal Death Reporting, Revision 2003, as it has for all other causes of death for the last 17 years, the COVID-19 fatality count would be approximately 90.2, that's 90.2% lower than it currently is. The CDC has instructed hospitals, medical examiners, coroners, and physicians to collect and report COVID-19 data by significantly different standards than all other infectious diseases and causes of death. These new and unnecessary guidelines were instituted by the CDC in private and without open discussion among qualified professionals that are free from conflicts of interest. These new and unnecessary guidelines were additionally instituted despite the existence of effective rules for data collection and reporting successfully used by all hospitals, medical examiners, coroners, and physicians for more than 17 years. As a result, elected officials have enacted many questionable policies that have injured our country's economy, our country's educational system, our country's mental and emotional health, and the American citizen's personal expression of constitutionally protected rights to participate in our own governance. The lack of truth is as much of a problem as any pandemic you can imagine.
House churches across China have experienced intensified persecution in recent months, with communist officials telling Christians they are not permitted to believe in God in this atheist country.
That's just incredible. How can you tell someone what to believe or what not to believe? I think it's insane to even say something like that. In June, a group of officials raided a house church. They confiscated the church's donation box and destroyed 10 Bible verses on the walls, telling the Christians their actions were, quote, the result of their disobedience, and that it was illegal to hold religious gatherings without a permit or joining the Three Self Church.
In April, police in Dengzhou City, in the central province of Henan, raided a house church, confiscated its Bibles and hymn books, and took 8 congregation members to a police station for interrogation. One Christian later revealed that a police officer said to him that they could not believe in God in China.
The believer also revealed that 2 weeks later, police visited the 8 arrested members at home to ask if they had continued to attend religious gatherings. Officers warned them that they would be sentenced to 3 to 5 years in prison if they gather again. We don't break any law by believing in God, but the government treats us this way, the believer said. The government wants to eliminate all religions and threatens us with the future of our family members, forcing us to give up our belief. It's really shameless.
Numerous reports have revealed the persecution Christians have endured at the hands of the Chinese Communist Party, including arrests, detentions, imprisonments, and church attacks. Such persecution is part of Chinese President Xi Jinping's efforts to abolish religion and enforce greater control over people's lives. The magazine reported that countless number of churches were also ordered to remove their crosses in Zhejiang, Fuzhou, Fengcheng, Shanghai, and a few other cities in the province in April.
You know, Pastor Larry, the same thing is happening in America. We are being told what to believe and what not to believe. We are told it's okay to stand in line at a store with a mask on, but we can't stand in line to vote. What could possibly go wrong?
That's right, Marvin. We could end up with the wrong president. And what about the statues they're tearing down? Anyone who the cancel culture thinks is a bigot, their statue comes down. What about the Black Lives Matter riots? They tear down businesses that someone built. They burn down stores that a mom and pop were making a living on. If you don't believe what they believe, you are in danger. And now we have reports of protesters burning Bibles in Portland. Do you think what's happening in China can happen here? Did someone tell you not to believe that? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's from Matthew 5. Verses 10 through 12.
Blessed are we who can laugh at ourselves, for we shall never cease to be amused. Call and get our special offer. The number is 1-800-652-1144. Send us your prayer request or question or comment to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And please visit us on our website at swrc.com. Perhaps this is the first time you have heard this program. Maybe you've listened for a while and you like this program and look forward to it, but have never called or written in. We invite you to do that today. In fact, for those that call or write today and say, "Jesus is Lord, please send me the DVD," we will send you a complimentary DVD of our TV show we call The Journey. If you like the radio program, wait till you see the video version. It was banned by some TV stations as being too controversial. Since when did the truth become controversial? The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Thanks for listening today. Tune in Monday when we begin a new series here on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.